Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is May 8th, 2024. This is your AEW Dynamite post-show review. It's been a little while. It's been about 3 weeks since I've been here. Really excited to see you guys. Leave a thumbs up. Donate a super chat or a humper chat if you want your question or statement read on the air. We try to interact as much as humanly possible. And if that ain't enough for you, we got FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. We had the Anarchy in the Arena scoop over on our Fightful Select Discord. I posted a little teaser on Twitter that I would be over there talking in the Discord. And yeah, I broke the news that it would be Anarchy in the Arena. So excited to talk about that. Lots more. As mentioned, super chats, humper chats, get your question or statement read on the air. I do a Q&A on Fightful Select every week, but there were several wonderful people who filled in for me last week. Corey Brennan did a Q&A. Jeremy and Joel did a Q&A. And then Alex and Kate did Q&As. You can check those out at FightfulSelect.com. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to be doing a show with you again for the first time in like a month. This is nice to have you back. I'm glad you got to take some time, but the Varsity Squad is back on Wednesdays, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. Yes, they are. My God. They certainly are. Let's let's get to super chats, humper chats. James Zimmerman says, "Hot damn, I love wrestling." Thanks, SRS and Alex. Well, we started off with a heater here. Orange Cassidy defeating Trent Beretta. I fully believe Trent would win this, but also I was like, this happening on Dynamite instead of Double or Nothing led me to believe that maybe this would be extended a little bit as well.
Yeah.
The match itself, how did you feel about that and the decision for Orange Cassidy to win over Trent?
I thought it was because Trent was just kicking the crap out of him. You know what I mean? And then Orange was smart enough to realize that Trent was in his head and wasn't thinking right and being dumb. Wasn't going for pinfalls, was blatantly cheating in front of the referee. And he realized that, okay, well, he's got him covered. I can cheat while the ref's back is turned. Mm-hmm. And it's fine because it's that kind of a match. So he wins with a drop toe hold into the top turnbuckle and a roll up with some leverage and gets a pin, because that's because he won. He won, but he didn't actually win, because immediately afterwards, Trent Barretta is not at all damaged and gets to take out his frustrations on him. Here's my deal with this. I need to know what Don Callis is doing hovering around Orange Cassidy, because that feels like a Mad Libs.
Like, yeah, I don't like, you know, I don't like, need it.
Okay, I need a wrestler during a very heated feud is approached by a manager. And somebody says Orange Cassidy and Don Callis, because this still doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. If he was like whispering honey into the ear of Trent Barretta, that makes perfect sense. The fact that he's doing it to Orange Cassidy doesn't at all. And I feel like somebody is thinking, well, the Orange Cassidy act's gotten, it's, we've been doing it for a long time. It's gotten a little stale. Let's see if we can spice it up. And like, fine if that's your impulse, but the wrong spice to reach for in the spice rack is Don Callis. That is the wrong spice to reach for in the spice rack.
I agree. So I did feel like Trent kind of needed to win initially after turning, but I'm willing to let this one play out, because I'm sure they're going to face each other at Double or Nothing in some sort of hardcore match. And that's something that Trent specializes in, especially based on how the post-match went. But I do have an issue with how the post-match went. I have long been a person who does not like bastardizing the pile driver in general.
No.
Like, in general. Like, listen, I understand it's not always going to be a finisher or anything like that, but the mere fact that most wrestling companies had banned this move for such a long time to wrestling fans were like, oh my gosh, I just saw one on steel stairs.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I don't want to say how long it was, but then very, very shortly afterwards, I'm looking up a minute. Not even, it didn't even feel like that. Maybe. And you know, I don't want to put a hard number on that, but it was a very short amount of time. Orange Cassidy was up and wielding a chair. And I was like, man, what? Now I understand Orange Cassidy is uber protected, but yeah, we're talking about a pile driver.
Well, yeah.
On the stairs.
Yeah. That to me also felt like, okay, well that they're going to have to come out and like the Doc Samson's going to come down and tend to him. The officials are going to get Trent Barretta to the back. I don't know what the only thing I can think of is they had to do a thing where like, Don Callis saves Orange Cassidy to further the Don Callis angle. And I feel like that's just A, don't, and B, certainly don't like have him pretty much no sell a pile driver onto the steel steps in order to do it. That was that. I mean, he would put ice on his neck later, but like the fact that he was up and like, don't come at me, because if you do, I'll hit you with this chair. Feels like he should have been basically unconscious. You know what I mean?
Chris Statlander tried to separate as well. Didn't end up help. I believe Trent told her to shut the fuck up or something, maybe.
Something like that, yeah. The stat stuff is interesting because I kind of... where I hope they're going is that stat has basically been in the pocket of Mercedes Moné for this whole time and ends up turning on Willow. So her basically not wanting her two friends to fight, but if she's got to pick a side, it would be Trent's kind of a thing could be part of this as well.
Serena Deeb interview, she talks about how she spent an extended amount of time out of the ring and how she battled seizures. I think the intent was good. I don't know if the execution was quite there, but I mean, she hasn't cut that many promos period on national TV throughout however long her career has been. I feel like this could have worked really well as like a vignette type of thing.
Sure.
If they didn't know, because I feel like that could have added a little bit of gravity to it, but you have Toni Storm come out there and she's just like, I don't care. I don't really care about what you've been through.
This doesn't sound like a challenge. It sounds like a charity case. So she takes a couple of sweaty dollar bills out of her brassiere and throws them at Serena Deeb. And also, like, this allows two women to say shit to each other on TV, which that's always good television. And then she tries to do a sucker punch to Serena Deeb, who blocks it and hits her with her own. and knocks her clean out. That was a hell. That was a great. Was I got great. Knocked out by a punch fall by Toni Storm. And the next match is Mariah May. And so I kind of want her to come out and have to like move, like check on her. Like she's still there being checked on by the doctors as she goes down to the ring. There's a reason why Toni Storm couldn't help her later in her match because she had been knocked out by Serena Deeb, which furthers this whole Mariah May and Mina thing. This is good storytelling. I liked it.
Mariah May defeated Harley Cameron. It was Harley Cameron's first Dynamite match, and I thought she did really well. I thought the match was really well. I mean, like Harley Cameron is not somebody we've seen get that many reps, and she certainly played to her strengths. And I thought, I mean, I was surprised that it went through a commercial break is how few reps we've seen Harley Cameron get. Like, I don't know that she's had more than a couple dozen matches, at least on record. I think it's her fourth AEW match ever. It is her longest AEW match times two. And I thought that she did a really, really good job here. And Mariah May just continues to be really good. Yeah. And again, I love her, you know, the understudy element of this that we all kind of saw coming. But man, Harley Cameron going in there against Mariah May, live TV, twice as long as she had worked in AEW before. That is no easy task. And I thought she killed it.
Yeah, I thought she did too. Good for her. And good for Mariah May for playing a different role in a match. She's got to be the veteran. She's got to be the one who's, making sure that Harley is making Harley look good. But also, Harley and Soraya are full heel characters. Like, she's basically working babyface in this. And anytime that Toni needs her to take somebody out, she's working heel. And there's a lot of very subtle, not straight black and white differences for Mariah May working one or the other. And I liked what she was doing with this, which I think also is giving us a hint of how they'll play it with Mariah May when she inevitably challenges Toni Storm for the title, because Mariah May will be babyface in that match, and they're showing us what that is going to be like. This match felt like it was like we're challenging Mariah May because we were doing a thing with Ruby and now she's pregnant, but so we got to do something else. So we're going to challenge Mariah May, and it didn't feel like it came out of nowhere. But I don't mind it because I thought the match was really good, and Mariah May is, you know, sold it. Harley Cameron sold it. It was good.
Soraya attacks afterwards, and Mina makes the save. I wonder how this will play into Toni, because I wonder if Toni will get a little jealous, like how that will all unfold and work out.
Yeah.
They teased the kiss and then they drank champagne or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tom Lavallee says Toni is a face per the crowd. Tough to run a babyface promo when Serena is not crazy over, and I'm a big fan of her. I'm a big fan of hers as well. It seemed like a one night, here I am, here's my story, have some sympathy for me, and then here's I feel like this could have been a vignette one week, and then Toni being like, nobody really cares about that.
Yeah.
Or even her coming out and doing a promo this week. Toni could have interrupted and she could have been like, you thought your sob story was going to make anybody give a shit about you?
Right.
Like, it doesn't. That, like, listen, nobody's making any noise for you. Like, I feel like that could have worked out really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe promo backstage. Ooh, listen,
that vignette, oh, I would have to like really think about it. But like, as far as like a character vignette and like, okay, maybe you forgot who I am. Let's just narrow it down to the subgenre of maybe you forgot who I am vignettes about a character. This is top two with a bullet. Like this, just him, Samoa Joe, barefoot in the dojo, throwing punches, doing medicine ball stuff. There's one where he's like trying to squeeze a heavy bag as hard as he can to practice the rear naked choke. There's some really great footage of him doing this, but the voiceover, because like Samoa Joe did voiceover for a video game for the unfortunately critically reviled Suicide Squad game. But I, for everything I've heard, seen of him in clips, he was great as King Shark. So he's got some training here. He knows how to do this. And he was modulating perfect timing of how he's telling the story. People would have you believe that Warrior's main focus is ambition, trying to be the best, but it's not. It's fear. Fear of not being the best. Fear of the one man that's going to take them down. And some people will tell you that I am one of these warriors, but I'm not. I am the man these warriors fear in the first place. And as the voiceover says that, he turns to the camera. That was great. This was perfect. I can't, after this, but when Joe lost the title to Swerve, I thought maybe he'd be gone for like 6 weeks. Like take a pay-per-view build off. They wouldn't be doing anything with him or whatever. But like now, I can't wait to see the next thing that he does. Like this vignette has reinvigorated everything about who Samoa Joe is. I'm so into whatever is coming after this, man.
If you're looking to reinvigorate your penis, we need to talk about your mailman. Doesn't need to know your business. Doesn't need to know you're looking to have better sex. Fortunately, Blue Chew is here. It arrives in a discreet package. But let's get back to the start. Maybe you want that performance, that edge in bed. Blue Chew has you covered. So, here's the deal. You take their online consultation, and if approved, you get a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis for a fraction of the price. Not just that, no awkward doctor's visits in person, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door, but mailman's not going to know what's in that package, but somebody's going to know what your package is bringing. Maybe it is the mailman or mailwoman. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they want you to drop something off by their back door. Well, with Blue Chew, you're going to be able to do that. Use the code FIGHTFUL. BlueChew.com. We see Rocky Romero meeting with Orange Cassidy, teases a trio in case he wins, but we had the PAC interview backstage as well that was interrupted by the Bang Bang Gang and, most importantly, a really, really good Switchblade and a promo, yeah. I thought. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, is, man.
And the reason for the interview was we saw you lose to Okada, but Rey Fénix is back. So will you reform the Death Triangle and go after the trio's titles? And that's when Jay White walks by. So the impetus there is, hey, a trio's feud. That'd be great. Death Triangle versus Bang Bang Gang. That'll be a lot of fun. But the fact that basically before he was interrupted, Pac said, I'm not interested in the Death Triangle. And then Jay White was like, ha, 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 ha. Great, great promo. Amazing promo. But his energy was just, I was actually focused on the full deadpan no sell from Pac during this entire Jay White promo. Because Jay White was working hard in this promo. And Pac was just stone-faced and dead-eyed. And then when he comes out after the whole thing, he comes out by himself. I mean, you tell me I'm getting Jay White versus Pac as a singles feud out of this, I'll take that. If we're not getting Death Triangle versus the Bang Bang Gang, I will absolutely take Jay White versus Pac matches out of this.
Oh, man, I loved this promo. Chris says we got to get a singles J feud. I think we're going to get Pac and Switchblade. I'll tell you what I don't like. The fact that more than one of those titles still exists, because I just think it should be unified. But the fact that all three of them still exist, to me, I'm like, oh. No, that,
listen, it's as a general rule, it's terrible. One set of titles, fine. Considering they actually, one of the three sets of titles they're carrying is the unified between the other two titles. So they already have a set of titles that represents the three titles, but he's still coming out with three titles. Here's the exception to the rule. Jay White wearing all three titles, dangling from the belt.
I like
that.
He
stole from Darby Allin that used to belong to Sting. That makes the whole thing worthwhile to me.
That was the only time I looked at it and I was like, okay, that looks cool, was when he was dangling it from the belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris says we need a Miro versus Samoa Joe feud. If Miro can get in the ring, man.
Man, if he can come back.
We got Swerve and Christian face to face. Swerve calls out Christian. He says he's in a fighting mood. Christian comes out. He basically says that Swerve isn't on his level, and they start to press in on the ring. Swerve's like, I didn't come alone, and here's the embassy. Mm-hmm. But they turned on Swerve, and this had to happen at some point. These X-Men that he's got backing him, it's hard to get sympathy.
Yes.
Hard to get sympathy on him when you've got Brian Cage, Khan, and Toa Leona backing him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they beat his ass, put him through a table. Man, they did that incredible power bomb. I always forget how good it is, where they just launch him at Brian Cage and then he power bombs him.
Mm-hmm. This was excellent. I really liked Christian promos before, and then coming at him, I'm going to take your gold teeth out of your mouth too, like I took your hair. And then Swerve's like, you think I came here alone? And then here comes the embassy. And then his promo talking about, like, it wouldn't be the first time that a guy from the West Coast took out a fake dad from Toronto. That's some good stuff. But I honestly also loved that it was Christian has a retort, but he doesn't. He lifts the mic, puts it back down, and then he just looks at Brian Cage. Doesn't say anything. Doesn't do it. Like, he just smiles, a little dastardly smile, looks at Brian Cage, the attack. Yes, absolutely. He couldn't be with the embassy anymore. I just thought they were going to phase them out of his group. But this is better. A hard delineation. We took you out. We're not with you anymore. That baby faces him even more. The beatdown was great. The power bomb in the ring. Then the elevated, like, cross power bomb from the stairs through the announce table. That was great. Swerve sold it like death. Excellent stuff. But the best part of all of this is Christian Cage coming back. And before the backstage thing, I was like, I just need Christian Cage in a backstage interview to say that Brian Cage is actually my fourth cousin. And so we talked about,
oh my God,
he doesn't like Swerve. And so we worked it out. So I thought we were going to get that, but instead we got something even better, which is Christian coming backstage and says to the Young Bucks, that was a great idea you guys had. Thank you. I look forward to working with you. They did. I thought they were going to handpick Jack Perry to face Swerve, but instead they handpicked Christian. Christian is a perfect, like, figurehead for them to install to run everything once he beats Swerve, because Swerve did say it was a bitch move to do what they did to Tony Khan. They referenced it in the backstage thing here. This is great. It's them pulling the strings. If you're going to do evil authority figures, they should be behind almost everything that happens. And I love that it was all their idea for Christian to challenge Swerve, and that their idea for Christian and the embassy to work together. This is great. Now it feels like, okay, we're probably going to get some Swerve first member of the embassy at some point. That could be fun. Him and Brian Cage could do some really good stuff. But then, is Swerve going to find backup elsewhere? And who could that be? Please don't say Parker Boudreaux and Trench. Because that's just anybody but those guys.
Anybody but them. Sincerely, anybody but them. That would be interesting. I mean, he might not have a lot of people. It might be like sort of like a mini Bloodline-esque thing where it's like, or Bailey thing where it's like, nobody wants to help him after the terrible stuff that he did.
Oh, sure. For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, man. Reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up. We greatly appreciate you. Renoa says, I love Stardom. I loved seeing Azumi Mina recently. Well, you're in for some good news because FightfulSelect.com today broke the news. Rocky Romero told us Stardom will be a part of Forbidden Door. Get more scoops like that over at FightfulSelect.com. Luis mentions, what about AR Fox?
I love AR Fox. That was me and Alba. It was our call last week. We didn't want it to be the embassy because the embassy feels like too much of, like, back when Swerve was heel and had these goons that ran with him. It didn't fit the new babyface Swerve. So we were like, if he makes up with AR Fox, that would also really intimidate Nick Wayne and basically take him out of the whole thing because he'd start having flashbacks of bleeding to death in his own garage. So, like, I thought maybe that would work. And that's a really cool thing to, like, have him patch it up with A.R. Fox and have him come back. It'd be great.
You know what would infuriate me, but I would also love? Keith Lee.
I mean...
Then Keith Lee says to him, he's like, just so you know, I'm going to get you at some point. Yeah, and he's like, but right now you're the champion, and you're the person I want to win the championship from.
There you go. That's all you need, man. Ooh. Oh, those two, A.R. Fox and Keith Lee, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. I'll take those two guys.
Tom LaValle says, again, Swerve was on MXM stream. I can dream. Guess who else was on that stream? Your boy, Cheese Plate.
Yep.
Dong Phallus says, WB, Sean. The ROH six-man titles just got, or welcome back, Sean. The ROH six-man titles got a redesign before the unification match. Was this not actually a unification? Fuck, man, I don't know. Like, they're running around with all these title belts.
All the belts.
I halfway expect them to roll in with the never open weight six-mans and the old WCW six-mans, the Lucha Underground Trios titles.
Oh, man, those would be great.
I was talking to Rocky Romero for our interview. I was like, man,
I love that story, man.
What about him and Dario Cueto?
Him all my auditioning for the Dario Cueto role. I can't. Here's the thing. Having watched every episode of that, I cannot imagine literally anybody else playing that part. But
he was so good.
If it was Rocky Romero, it would be very funny. But I also loved the story they pitched to him of him being the janitor lurking everywhere for the first season. By the second season, he's like a guy who's doing everything in there. That'd be a lot of fun.
And this interview drops on Thursday, by the way, guys, please check it out. Our interviews with Rocky are always, honestly, usually the most newsworthy interviews we get. And I was like, you know, Tony seems like the kind of guy that would just buy the Lucha Underground library, because WWE is no longer in library acquisition mode.
He should. He's got some of his top dudes who used to work there. I'm like, also, it's just like for like wrestling history, like the fact that you can go back and watch so much of those things and see people that you recognize who are major dudes now, that is a really cool thing.
Yeah. And I mean, the new ROH six-man tag titles, I mean, they are branded ROH too. It's not, I wish they would do the thing. I've said this about the women's tag titles and the six-man tag titles. Make them the world six-man tag titles, the world women's tag titles. You can defend them on ROH, AEW, or you can send them over to New Japan. You can send them to Strong. You can send them to the Indies even.
Yeah.
I would love it. Well, if you do go to Japan, if you do go to the Indies, if you're traveling a lot, thankfully, NordVPN.com/Fightful can help. I traveled to Chicago this weekend, used NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can save big, get 4 months extra, and get a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can protect your online activity. You get a subscription, download that Nord app, connect to a Nord server, and you're good to go. And it works on all your devices, or you can just put it on your router and work there as well. Also, all operating systems. They've got the password manager to help you out, the file encryption tool, the 24/7 tech support, so you always have help whenever you need it. If you need to help figuring out how to use anything, MLB games, I can finally actually watch Major League Baseball, because generally I got YouTube TV now, don't have to deal with blackouts, anything like that. They got reliable encryption. It's safe from disruptions with their kill switch feature. And like I said, a 30-day money-back guarantee, NordVPN.com/Fightful. This is the sponsor I use most when I am awake, because anytime I am on any device of mine, whether it be this phone, this PC, the smart TV over there, the router, it's on the router in the corner, I got NordVPN. Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active, well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother. Body looks leaner. I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular price order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
.com/Fightful on there. Renoa says, any updates on Motor City Machine Guns? You made my night. Well, I don't have an update on them outside of Body Slam reporting that they had signed. I don't have that information as of yet, though. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. It's light tonight. What? Do you think I sold out to the Fed just because I got a piece of cheese? Come on, guys. Come on. I'm not even eating that cheese. What are we doing? Let me tell you, here's how I looked when I got that thing. That was me actively reacting. Matthew Hook says they didn't announce a match or much for Saturday. Weird, right? Well, I know that Tony had been out of the country doing soccer work the last couple of weeks. You know what? My cat wants out. I'm going to let my cat out.
You can let your cat out.
Look at him. Look at him. Look at this little fella.
Come on, buddy. There you go. There you go.
What a little gentleman. He waited.
Yeah, he waited.
He waited.
That was so nice.
So I know that they couldn't get a lot of things done in the way that they wanted to. Willow interview and the Mercedes interview. This was more of a lengthy backstage Mercedes interview, and one that I think is probably best that she cut backstage as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Man. My wife was watching the Willow interview and she hit me with a line and I was like, damn, that was a good one. She said that Willow should have been like, you know, last time we faced off, I walked out champion and you didn't walk out at all. Mm. And I was like, ooh, damn, that would have been a good one from Willow, because Willow's just so kind. She's just so nice.
She is.
She's just so nice. But also, she did win that match within kayfabe. Doesn't matter how you win the match, you win match. Banana peel, ankle injury, doesn't matter. Right. Mm-hmm. And now Mercedes has been out for a year. What'd you think of this promo?
I really loved Willow's. She's not going to apologize for winning. I'm sorry you got hurt. I wish you hadn't gotten hurt, but you did. And I won. And then I won the Owen. And now I'm the TBS champion. I've had a pretty good run. If you think you're going to just waltz into Double or Nothing and take this title from me, you got another thing coming. So I think that is the story. And she, with Mercedes, the promo, she says money changes everything. Now, that's a play on her last name. However, I would love it if she bought the services of Stokely and Statlander. Like Stat not really knowing how to deal with losing her title and then never being able to get it back from Julia. But you know who could? Her best friend, Willow. Like that being part of it. And then Stokely actually getting like taking the money from Mercedes and going like, don't worry, I'll get Stat, it'll be fine. And he works his magic verbally into getting her on their side. I would love it if basically he's like, not only did I take your title from you, I took your manager, I took your best friend, now you've got nothing. Told you I was going to take everything from you. Like that being the thing, and then Willow having to claw her way back to that title over months and months and months and setback after setback and roadblock after roadblock. But when she finally does, ooh, that'll be sweet. What a great long-term story that'll be.
We go back to Jay White. He defeated Rocky Romero. This was good stuff, man. Jay White in the ring, Jay White winning more, Rocky Romero doing more. Again, we're dropping that Rocky Romero interview ahead of this insane New Japan resurgence card that's happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen this card. My God, let me just list off some of this stuff. It is pretty loaded. John Moxley against Shooter, Shota Umino, who, man, he did all those fun segments with years ago. You got Mustafa Ali versus Leo Rush, Zack Sabre against Tanahashi, Stephanie Vaquer against Alex Windsor, Eddie Kingston and Gabe Kidd. I'm supposed to talk to Gabe Kidd this week. He's one of my favorite to interview. Cobb and Archer. Man, I love this. You got Rocky Romero, Tomohiro Ishii, and the DKC against Jack Perry, Ren Narita, and Evil. I am so excited for this show. It looks really, really good. Plus, a never open weight championship match, strong tag team title match. Check that out. But Rocky Romero getting the win makes an off, or not getting the win. Jay White getting the win over Rocky Romero makes an awful lot of sense to me. Pac making the save, wonderfully telegraphed, because we could tell he wasn't going to let this shit slide.
Right. That once they gave the stakes of if Rocky wins, then Rocky and Orange and a third guy get a title match versus the Bang Bang Gang. And then before the match, Jay White ran afoul of Pac the Bastard. I thought there was a chance Pac did something to cost Jay White this match to give Rocky, Orange, and Pac as just a third guy they found to get like this exhibition type of they wouldn't win that or whatever, the Bang Bang Gang would retain, but that might be something they did. I'm glad they didn't do that, but that was a thought that I had. I love Switchblade hitting the Blade Runner and pinning a guy with one finger. That is
yes,
amazing, because the Blade Runner should shoot, knock people out. So it doesn't matter how you pin them. They're not kicking out of it. So yeah, that is so arrogant, but also when he hits that with the velocity he throws your forehead into the mat, that should be it. He shouldn't worry about hooking a leg. One finger on your chest, that's all I got to do. Because if I hit you with that, you ain't getting up. That's brilliant. That's a really cool thing to give to Jay White. He should do that a lot.
Malakai Black promo as well.
I like Black's framing of it. Of you used to be a killer, and then you had this unfortunate medical diagnosis. You decided to go be a family man and a good husband, and that killer is still lurking inside you, and that's who the real you is. And if I have to kill you to bring you back to life, that is what I will do. That's all I need from a guy like Malakai Black is a reason for why he's targeting him. And also that sinister thing of like, that's why this whole thing of like, do it, kill, hit my friend buddy with the chair, do it. I want you to, because it proves that dark side is within him. Like, give in to your hate, give in to your anger, come to the dark side. We have cookies. There it is, man. Do that. This is some good stuff. I don't know if Malakai is going to win the title, but I do believe that if he doesn't, Adam Copeland is not going to be the same dude that he was going into this feud. And that is important.
He's going to turn into Judgment Day Edge.
Well, as long as he doesn't cut promos in a purple light, just basically calling the entire crowd fat and smelly, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, but he was gothic when he did it.
Yeah, I know. He's gothic in a purple light.
Another one of those matches that could happen but won't happen. The Brood versus House of Black is something that would be
kind of fun.
Because Gangrel's still doing it, man. Yeah. He's still doing it. we're going to skip around a little bit here and go to the weekly Alex is Right About Jericho contribution from C. Delgado. This didn't do it for me. It didn't do it for me. Now, I will say this. I have heard from people in AEW that he knew the reaction he was going to get at Dynasty. He called it. He knew it. He aimed for it. You can believe that if you want. But people that I talked to there that would not cape for him were like, listen, he knew exactly what he was getting into. He knew how the crowd was going to react to him, and it's what he wanted. Right. Yeah, but it's not what I want. And I'm watching the show and reviewing the show.
Yeah.
Like, And how many themes does this guy need?
No, listen. Listen.
He's got an EP.
He should have gotten rid of Judas a long time ago, like two heel turns ago.
Sure.
Because like the heel shouldn't be coming out here and having the crowd sing his song. You know what I mean? That's just the thing. He should want that because he's an egotist, and I get that, but we shouldn't be just fan servicing that. That shouldn't be it. There was a transitional period where he was Lionheart and he had White Zombie. I actually like the new thing because you can't sing along to it. So he doesn't know the thing, but what everyone can do is they can just say along with him. Hold on. They can say along with him. I am the learning tree. And this should be his Titantron. I'm firm on that. This should be his Titantron.
Alex, you turned the intro on.
I had to click that and I clicked something else.
You had the sound of a VHS entering a VCR, yes, is what
I
that
did.
Was.
I did.
I don't know much about this theme. I saw people calling it a Def Rebel ass theme. I don't know if it's like a Fozzy instrumental or something like that, but it's not a good thing.
It shouldn't be. Because we're not supposed to cheer for this. When a guy says, "I am the learning tree," and then some butt rock plays, we're not supposed to like it. So, yeah. Like, here's the thing for me. I would be all for this if he was actually creating a stable of fellas who did all the wrestling and he just sat at ringside and told them what to do, and then they did it. Like, I don't need to watch Jericho wrestle during this whole thing. I would be a lot better with this if he was like, if he actually was sank into the whole thing of like this guru, sit at my feet, young ones, and I shall impart to you my vastness of knowledge. Like, if he really did that, as opposed to this thing, which is him being like fake insincere, or fake sincere. And I don't think it lands the way some people are, and you're free to love it if you want.
Sure.
He's trying something new, and for that, I applaud the decision to try something new because the old stuff wasn't working. But I don't think he's good at it yet. Maybe he'll get better at it, but I don't like it right now.
Luis said that Mikey Ruckus confirmed it was a Fozzy production after Dynasty. I like how Mikey Ruckus goes, not me. I respect it.
Nope.
I respect it.
Nope.
Adam Copeland defeated Brody King in a no DQ match. Listen, I like this. Adam Copeland is good at these no DQ matches. It's getting to the point to where it was like with Sammy Guevara before his suspension, where I'm like, can you just make all his matches no DQ? Because he's really good at them. And it was kind of Sammy's thing for a while. Adam Copeland is getting very, very good at them.
Mm-hmm.
Now after the match, Kyle O'Reilly makes the save and we're getting Cope and Kyle O'Reilly at Collision, which that's going to be a slapper, but
in O'Reilly's hometown. I actually like the backstage thing where like, hey, thank you for helping me out. I didn't know I was going to get like, I barely put that guy down and apparently I didn't do it hard enough because he was going to murder me after the match. Thank you for saving me. And O'Reilly saying, well, now I want a favor. In my hometown, Collision, I want the Cope open for me. And he's like, oh, I get it. I understand now. Well, thanks for helping me out. You deserve this. Here's your favor. And that's going to be great. That'll be a lot of fun. I thought the match was him, like Brody King smiling through a mask of blood. That's never going to get old. But basically, like Copeland covered in blood, but none of it is his own by the end of the match. That's always an interesting visual. There were some really good table spots in here, chair spots and stuff. It was a great little plunder smash match. So I thought this was well done. I like the thing with O'Reilly, because also O'Reilly is one of those guys that at any point could literally turn the knob a half degree either way and wind up like he was playing Copeland all along to like try and injure him so he could become the champion in his hometown because he's so damaged by losing to his former best friend, Roderick Strong, in a match he thought he should win, that now he's going to do whatever he can to get a title, any title. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with Kyle O'Reilly coming out of this, too. I like it.
Since Adam Copeland won the TNT title, 26-minute match with Christian, 13.5 with Cardona, 21 with Penta. There was a mixed tag match, but he also had, like, you know, 12 minutes on Collision, but then 18 at Dynasty, 21 against Buddy Matthews, 18 tonight against Brody King.
Yeah.
Hoo boy.
That's a lot of stamina for a dude who's been around the block as long as he has and his age. But he just not slowing down. Like it feels to me like he's making up for lost time in a lot of ways. Like not only just like the decade he was out, but man, the way he came into WWE after that decade off, if you had told me, but by the time he ended with WWE, he wouldn't hold a singles title. I mean, that's impossible because of the crazy response he got and how good he looked and all the stuff he was doing. So to me, like, it feels like he's like, okay, well, here's a bunch of guys I've never gotten to wrestle before. I'm going to wrestle all of them. I'm going to wrestle for as long as I want to, because Tony Khan's going to give me 20-minute blocks to wrestle in. I'm going to put on bangers. I'm going to do crazy stuff. Sure, let's do it. And it feels like he is having a time of his life, and good for him.
So we've got Kenny Omega announcing anarchy in the arena. Fightful Select broke this news over on the Discord. But I knew it would be that or Stadium Stampede, whatever that may be. Blood and Guts didn't quite fit, but Anarchy in the Arena does. Listen, I love these types of matches. They're so fun to be a part of. Did you have any like idea of who it might be outside of FTR?
Well, FTR, he said. And I was like, when he first announced it, I was like, you are currently in a hospital bed. It's not you and FTR and one other guy. And then they showed the graphic and they showed like two blank people next to FTR. And I was like, oh, okay, good. Kenny, rest up. My initial thought was Kingston and Mox. Because Mox just feels like the AEW. Like if somebody's going to fight for the existence of AEW, like Mox is a guy who's going to sign up for that. And Eddie Kingston already hates the Young Bucks and also would feel like teaming with Moxley would work out for him. So I thought that it never crossed my mind that it was going to be there's going to be Kingston and Danielson.
I do think Kingston's becoming a bit of a catch-all in that regard. Like sure. they just have him come out and he helps somebody.
Listen, I think that this is a place where they should do it, where they shouldn't have done it, is him and Briscoe helping Adam Copeland, because that didn't make sense. I talked about this on the post show we do on Saturdays after Collision. I talked about this with Kate. Like, it does not feel like Eddie Kingston and Adam Copeland have ever spoken to each other. Like, those guys feel like they have nothing in common. Like, maybe a hi, how you doing in the locker room. Yeah. Like, that's about it. So the idea they're like, hey, I need some guys to help me out in my feud against House of Black. Eddie Kingston is my new best friend. Didn't make any sense. Eddie Kingston hating the Young Bucks enough to team with one of his former mortal enemy in Danielson and some two guys he really doesn't give a shit about either way in FTR. That absolutely fits Kingston just because he wants one more shot to crack Okada in the nose. You know what I mean? Like that. It feels like that's an Eddie Kingston thing.
Here's something that makes sense. And dollars.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Check it out, BetOnline. All their odds were on the money this past week. Usually I do underdog locks or something like that, and I looked at the... First off, it doesn't help that it's a five-match card, but there were none of them that I looked at on the Backlash show as underdog locks, and none of them were. The betting favorites all won, so they were right on the money with those odds. So if you like that type of thing, BetOnline AG is right for you. Young Bucks park on Tony Khan's spot, and they came out and they cut a promo accepting anarchy in the arena. Danielson and Kingston complete Team AEW along with FTR. Maddie Nice says, I called it. Proof is in the Discord. Come hang out in the Discord, guys. BB says, manifesting Shad Khan as the manager of Team AEW. I feel like his on-screen appearances should be limited to like what we have seen them be so far. But then again, maybe he's got some hidden charisma that I don't know about.
Shad Khan. No, here's what I need from Shad Khan. Just anytime there's something really crazy that happens, he should just come out and look at it like, what is going on? Like the next time that Darby dives off something high through something sharp, he should come out and look at everything that is, this is what my money is paying for. Like one of those things. When he came out after Tony got spiked, and he was just like, he looked like nobody had explained to him what professional wrestling was. That's how lost the look on his face was. I loved it.
James Stalling says, it's amazing how good Jack has got promo, how good he has got at promos in less than a year. He's only going to get better. This is what he needed. He needed to be a smarmy little prick is what he needed to be.
Yep.
He needed to be everything that CM Punk said he was. Yep. And that's what he is.
Yeah.
I can't wait until like 10 years from now, we see the Bischoff Vince hug between those two in Chicago. And over that shoulder, he just smiles. Can't wait. But yeah, I think that Jack Perry has done great work. And listen, I know a lot of people will disagree with me. I think each year or each week, it further reinforces the decision to show the footage being at least a solid one so far.
Yeah.
Yes. Peyton Carter says, Sean, today you said that Danielson's contract was up soon with AEW. Do you think he's going to re-sign with them? So the original contract would be up around All In. However, I do believe he's supposed to do a little bit of work with them after that, as best I know. Now, there's a lot of injury time there as well. I don't know what that will mean. I know that he's planning on wrapping up his full-time in-ring this year. I haven't heard of any interest on his behalf to go back to WWE. He seems very happy in AEW. But then again, you never know what somebody's motivations might be.
Right. I mean, here's the deal. Like him, he said, I will be finishing up as a full-time wrestler this year.
Yes.
That dude's going to wrestle at least 4 or 5 matches a year until he's 70 years old.
He says like 5 to 10.
Like, I mean, like, come on. You know what I mean? So like he's like, and I mean, as a full-time wrestler, that just means making towns, because he doesn't need to wrestle 3 times a month to be a full-time wrestler. There's a lot of full-time wrestlers that wrestle at the papes and that's it. So like he could easily come back and do exhibition cool things, like who gets to fight Bryan Danielson this pay-per-view kind of things. And they just pick dudes out, and because Bryan Danielson is Bryan Danielson, he would absolutely put over talent to like get them boosted up the card because they beat Bryan Danielson, because Danielson has no problem taking a pin.
I think we might see him go unbeaten until like his last full-time match. I think that could be something like him finally going on a run.
Like here's what I told Bree and Birdie. The next time Daddy loses, he's coming home for good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that could be really cool. Just like not he's retiring, but not really retiring. But that moment of what is that match? That could be interesting.
I went into brie mode today, Alex.
Did you?
Brie cheese.
Brie cheese.
Maddie Nice says, I hear that AEW doesn't do long-term storytelling, but everyone in Team AEW debuted against an EVP. Pumped for Double or Nothing. Glad to have you back, SRS. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, and after this, after the show, Danielson asked Eddie to chop the shit out of him, supposedly. So Adam Legend wants Eddie and Brian to run the gas spot, and Vicky says, welcome back, SRS. I wanted Mox in the Anarchy. I'd like a bit more balance with this story. Someone having the EVP's car towed tonight. No Osprey. Thanks. Yeah, they gave Osprey the week off. He was going to come out there, but they're like, listen, take the week off. You know, he's willing to fly out every week, but they had him take the week off. But I mean, listen, like, no Moxley, no Osprey, no Hangman, no MJF, no Cole. Omega's there, but not there. You know what I mean?
Right.
They aren't operating with a full deck here, and I can't wait until that's the case. I think we see MJF back sooner than later. Listen, I don't care whatever it is that he has told people. I ain't buying it. Listen, you're talking about the guy that so many people have said, he really just believe MJF? No, I never believe him. Are you kidding me? Never. And I'm ready to see him back, and I think he's going to prove points when he does come back. But
interesting.
Alex, what do you got going on?
Listen, before I say what I got going on, the perfect opportunity for him to come back, because when he comes back, he should be heel, because we saw babyface, it didn't work.
Yes.
The perfect time for him to come back would be during Anarchy in the Arena, to ride in and be our scumbag. Everybody loves him, but he sides with the Young Bucks. Like, that would be a really great thing, because I could be your hand-chosen guy? Yeah, that'll be good. Like, I mean, honestly, to screw over Tony Khan, I mean, it's the old MJF, but I feel like he would do it anyway.
Well, I mean, to your point, whenever he comes back, there is no reason for him to be babyface, because the reason he was a babyface was because of Adam Cole. And where did that get him?
Nowhere.
That got him injured without any championships, beat down, and missing months of time.
Yep, absolutely. You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sarah Graps. You can find me on Tuesdays doing the NXT review. Friday, there's no Rampage, so we'll just do a regular SmackDown review. Collision, we got the 3 hours. So we'll do, Kate and I will do a Rampage watch along on FIFA Select while talking about Collision. Sunday's Mother's Day. Please. Mm-hmm. Hug your mothers.
Yes.
Kiss your mothers.
Please.
Go to brunch with your mothers. And then Monday,
listen, if you all don't, I will.
Right, there you go. And he'll do it. And then on Monday we got Raw after Raw. So full week, always back full week.
Guys, thank you all so much. Many of you said very kind things over the last week, and it means an awful lot. Thank you for that. I am very, very happy to be back and happy to see all of you guys. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. You are going to really like what you get over there. It's just $5 a month, a bunch of podcasts, Q&As. Exclusive news, a Discord. You're not getting more for $5 anywhere in wrestling. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.